Thank you, DZ. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Ephraim Mutoko. As indicated, I'm the HOD for the Department of Local Government and Human Settlements in the Northwest Province. And I'm accompanied by my colleagues in the department, Mr. Fani Mutsumi, who will be taking us through the presentation for the province, and also Mr. Mashavani, who's the regional director, and also Mr. Bidi, he's also the chief director for housing development. Thank you. I will, if you permit me, I will request Mr. Mutsumi to proceed with the presentation.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members and the colleagues from the National Department and Provincial Department and all our entities in the human settlement sector. Like the HOD has indicated, my name is Fani Mutsumi, Chairperson. I am the Acting Chief Director in the Northwest Department of Local Government and Human Settlements. I am responsible for housing needs, planning, research, and technical services. The presentation, Chairperson, follows the format that was given to the provinces. We will focus on the high-level performance of the department for the financial year 15-16, and then from there we'll have an overview of the 16-17 business plan, the current year that we are on now. Chairperson, in the past financial year, we received an allocation of about 2.1 billion that we were supposed to implement the human settlement program in the Northwest. Out of that, we were able to deliver sites in as far as your IRDP is concerned. For a number of areas in the province, the five that we delivered were 1,835 out of the planned 3,205 units. In terms of this program, the units that we were able to produce were 3,197 out of a budget or a total planned units of 3,673. We did not perform very well in terms of this program, Chair. There are some deficits in terms of the achievement. We've got site deficit of 1,370 and units deficit of 476. We, however, have noted this, and then we've put remedial actions in place to ensure that we are able to recover in terms of this. In terms of the informal settlement upgrading program, we had planned 8,020 units. That size, we were able to surpass this target, Chairperson, because there were opportunities in projects that we are implementing. And in terms of this, out of the planned 1,020 units, we were able to produce 3,969, and we were also able, out of the planned housing units, 2,430, we were actually able to produce 2,446. In terms of this particular program, we are able to surpass our targets in terms of size and in terms of units produced. The next slide will speak to social and rental housing. We had planned to build quite a number of social housing units, particularly CRUs. Out of the 272 that we had planned, we were only able to build the 252 units at the cost of 80.9 million in Marikana Extension 2 in the Rustenburg local municipality. We were unable to build the additional 20, which was earmarked. not for down due to a number of technical problems, delays in the issuing of the feasibility study report and so forth. But we have since taken this project to the current financial year for finalization. Everything has been prepared in terms of this. We had planned to spend 142 million in this regard. We were only able to spend 80 million at Jefferson. Our rural program has seen an increase in the number of units that we had built. The chairperson will note that the Northwest province is largely rural, and we've got quite a number of villages there. The premier has even adopted a program called FEED-ESD, which focuses on villages, townships, and small dorpies in the province. The province is embarking on a village-based plan, wherein all villages will have their own individual plans for development in the area by government. So this program is taken seriously in the province, Jefferson, and as human settlements, we are no exception to this particular program. Because of this, Chair, there are quite a number of villages that we attended to also in the province. We had planned to build 1,996 units. We were able to build 3,611. Out of the planned 182 sites, we were able to produce 586 sites. So we went over the budget in terms of this program, and we also surpassed the target in terms of this program because of the need in rural villages in the province. The housing finance linked individual subsidies of this program, Chairperson, we are not doing well at all in terms of this program. We have not been able to spend the money that was allocated to this program, and we have got nothing to report in terms of the number of units that were produced. This is largely because of the qualification for beneficiaries in most of our areas. Banks would not approve people. We do have got quite a number of approved beneficiaries in our housing subsidy system, but when you go to banks to look for finance to augment the subsidies that government issues, then we have been problems. We are working very hard. We've got a team that is dedicated to try and resuscitate the program in the province, and also to work on the awareness program and the communication strategy just to enlighten people on the availability of this grant and this program. We are also hopeful that we'll work hand in hand with the now resuscitated Northwest Housing Corporation in the province to try and help this program to get off its off the ground. So there are quite a number of strategies that we are putting in place to ensure that this program works. We're hoping that in this current financial year, we'll realize some movement and some achievements there. In terms of our priority project and our provincial specific program, here particularly we're looking at the military veterans program and the title deed restoration program. We are also not doing very well in terms of these two programs. The military veterans, we were in the period under review, not being able to deliver on the 332 units that we had hoped to deliver on. This is primarily also because we are struggling with the qualification criteria that we must still work on. We are aware that the special dispensation qualification criteria for military veterans it's still under discussion as part of the policy enhancement. So as soon as this is resolved, then perhaps we will have movement in terms of that. Not only that, Jefferson, we are also struggling to find suitable service sites in areas where these military veterans reside so that we are able to build for them. We have been able, but not under the period under review, been able to build quite a few in other areas, in Matosana and in Nyakamudi Rumulema, but we know it's not enough. We are currently working on some of the houses. It's about just under 20 in Mahikeng, and then we are hoping that we finish this by the end of April, Chairperson. So we are also putting in efforts to make sure that this program works. We understand that it's a priority, and then we are treating it as such. Chairperson, in terms of your title deed restoration, we have been able to register out of the backlog that we have about 586 titles. We are in the process of registering more. About 4,000 are with the deed registrar as we're speaking. Just last week, Friday, we had a meeting with the registrar. We had a meeting with all conveyancers that are appointed by the contractors that we have contracted to build houses for us in the province to assist them to get this process fast-tracked at the deed office. So we have requested the registrar to jump the queue in terms of registration of this, and we are happy to report that the registrar is willing to assist us so that we are able to move this process a little bit faster. In terms of your mining towns, well, we also did not do as well as we had expected with regards to mining towns, Chair. We had planned to service 3,383 sites. We were only able to service 1,435 sites. We had planned to build 4,085 houses in mining towns. We were able to build slightly higher than that, 4,876. The budget that we had set aside for mining towns was 1,031,000,000. We were only able to spend 813.3 million of that funding. There's a deficit in terms of your site of about 1,948, and the target was surpassed slightly by 791. That is the breakdown in terms of the areas where we had realized good performance, and in some areas we have not performed so well. We have not performed well in Gauteng and in Madibeng for a few reasons, and also in part of Rustenburg. In Rustenburg, primarily in Marikana, there were delays during the implementation of the project. We experienced quite a number of protests and strikes on site by subcontractors and interested parties in the area who wanted to form part of the project. Over and above that, we still experience problems with illegal occupations of houses that have been completed. So some of the houses are getting illegally occupied before we could actually complete and sign them off as completions. So these are about project-specific problems and challenges that we're facing as we implement projects. So there has been a delay in terms of this project. In Gauteng specifically, our challenge was topographical challenges there, where we could not connect completed houses to the sewer lines because the sewer line was a little bit higher than where the houses were built. So engineers are still looking for ways of making sure that we do not have backspill in terms of your sewer there. But some of the houses have been completed there, but we unfortunately could not include them in the statistics because they were not as yet connected to the sewer lines. In Madibeng, we wanted to also continue to roll out other phases of the Sunway Village project. Unfortunately, land purchase processes took longer than we had anticipated. We are happy to announce and to report, Chairperson, that the land processes, the land purchase process has been completed, and we should be able to move forward with this project in these mining towns, particularly Gauteng and Madibeng. We did well in Matosana, we did well in Moses-Kotane, and in Rustenburg we are slightly just under targeted, and then we also missed some of our targets there slightly. The minister proposed not to fund some of the HSDG programs, Chairperson. Unfortunately, at the time that this directive came through, already there were contractual obligations on the ground and that work was underway. So we had done some work in terms of your rectification and in terms of your project link subsidies. This is just to face these programs off in terms of your, those contractual obligations. We had planned 482 units in as far as your project link is concerned, and we were able to achieve 869 completions. We spent 93.7 million on site on units completed, as opposed to the budget of 42.7 million. There's a slight overachievement of 15 sites and 387 units in as far as this program is concerned. With the rectification program as well, we had total planned units were 111, we spent roughly 19 million in terms of that, and then we could not actually achieve those in as far as your rectified RDP stock 1994 to 2002. But in as far as pre-94 stock, we also did not achieve anything there, Chairperson. It's only sites that we were able to achieve. Community residential units converted and upgraded. We planned for 24 in Mamusa local municipality, and then these were not achieved as well, unfortunately, Chair. And in this slide, we talk about programs that need additional reports. It's social and economic facilities, operational capital budget, and land parcels. The land parcel that we're referring here to here, Chair, is the Madiben land parcel that I alluded to, and the operational capital budget assists us to implement projects through the external capacity of the program management unit that we had appointed in the department. Social and economic facilities were earmarked for Mafikeng, extension 39, but this money could not be utilized because of other priorities. Chairperson, this slide speaks to the NHPRC enrollment. We had planned to spend 36 million on enrollment. We were able to spend 21.2 million. This is primarily because we could not get some of the projects off the ground. As a result, we are unable to enroll them. So that is why there is under expenditure in terms of that. Disaster relief, total budget allocated was 34 million. We spent 44 million there. This is in Makosana where there was tremors and some earth shaking there, an earthquake of sorts there. This way we're spending this money. As and when we go into the ground, we come across more houses that were affected by that quake. Now we'll talk to the MTSF plan targets for 16-17, Chair, and what we anticipate to achieve in the following financial year. In terms of your IRDP, we're looking at 142 units at a cost of about 80 million. In terms of, and that would be the PHP project that we have. It's about two projects that we have in Mafikeng and in Madiben local municipality. We'll be winding down the project in this order in terms of the PHP program. In terms of your informal settlement upgrading program, we have planned the total number of sites to the tune of 6,913, and then we have budgeted 333 million for that. Total number of units, 6,499, at a cost of 779.8 million. We're looking at the total allocation for this program at 1.1 billion, Chairperson. It's a priority, and then that is why a chunk of the money is going to the informal settlement upgrading. In as far as social and rental housing is concerned, we have budgeted for 3,301 sites, total number of units about 632. We've got two social housing projects in Matosana, and then we'll be do the 20 unit CRUs in Taung at the budget cost of 99.8 million for units, and in total it comes to about 103.1 million. Chairperson. Rural housing 5,767 at the cost of 14.6 million, and the number of units that have been planned is 4,876 at the cost of 620 million, and the total is 635.5 million. We continue to plan for the FLIS program, Chair. Like I've indicated that we had challenges, but we are not giving up on the project. The budget for site is 2,865 for this financial year, hoping that we'll be able to build more in the outer years, but we anticipate to get at least 34 units at the cost of 3.2 million. The total allocation for the program is 6 million. Well, as far as provincial specific programs under priority project is concerned, we anticipate to we have done our work in terms of our military veterans, and then we anticipate that we'll be able to build 142 units for military veterans, and we are also anticipating that of the 64,000 backlog in terms of your states, we'll be able to push some of the backlog. The figures are not quite correctly indicated there, Chair, but the intention is to get at least no less than 15,000 titles registered in the financial year, and then we have budgeted for both in the region of 81 million rand. And the budget for mining towns in Gauteng, a total planned unit 498. At a budget of 63 million, and then sites in Madibeng, it's 1,034, and then the total planned unit is 1,069, and the budget for Madibeng local municipality is sitting at 205 million. In Matosana, the budget is sitting at 261 million. With 1,151 sites anticipated, and total planned units at 1,641. Moses Kotane is receiving 98.7 million. We have done a lot of work in the current financial aid, Moses Kotane. The budget has slightly decreased there, but we are anticipating to yield 708 units in Moses Kotane. Rustenburg. Our challenges are still in Rustenburg. Rustenburg is still receiving a bigger chunk of the allocation because of the number of informal settlements that we are working on there and the number of projects that we are working on there. Total plan size for Rustenburg is 2,070. The number of planned units is 1,639. We are anticipating to spend 300,421,000 in Rustenburg local municipality. All in all, mining towns are receiving a budget of 930, 600 going to sites and 238 going to sites and 692 going to completed units. These are targets per mining towns broken down 10%. You will see it's per program, and it will indicate exactly under which municipality this breakdown referred to. As per the directive of the Minister for the coming financial year, programs proposed not to be funded by the HSDG is zero for the province, so I will not be spending money on these programs. And programs that require additional reports, it's only on the operational capital budget, which is obscure, and on land parcels. We are buying a portion of land in Kolini, right in the city center, and then we anticipate to get a nice integrated project there because the land is well located there. The operational budget for the financial year is 107 million, and this will include the program management budget. Thank you. and we are largely done with the disaster in sector, so we'll just be finalizing whatever little work that we still need to do there. So there isn't much budget in terms of that. Well, this is just an extract from the allocation letter to indicate to the chair and to the committee that this is how the MTF allocation looks like for the province. For 16-17, it's sitting at 2.1 billion, and for 17-18, we'll be receiving 2.4, and 18-19, 2.5. Chair will note that in 2016-17, there was a budget cut of about 100 billion in the province due to the budget cut in the fiscal. So, but these are allocations for the coming 3 years. And out of the 16-17 allocation, these are ring-fenced amounts in terms of for mining towns and title deed restorations. For title deed restoration and mining towns, we have done slightly higher than what has been ring-fenced, so we have been able to comply in terms of this. This is just targets per program to indicate what we'll be utilizing the money for, chairperson per the business plan programs and sub-programs, NHPRC enrollments, 21.5 million, land purchase, 4 million, and flips, it's sitting at 6 million. This is just a summary of the figures that we actually had presented in earlier slides, but this is just a summary to indicate how we're going to spend this money on our lobbies. Lastly, Chair, this is just a cash flow to indicate per quarter the drawdowns and how we will be utilizing the 2.5 billion. For the financial year, we anticipate all in all to conclude and build 12,581 units and to deliver 7,680 sites at the cost of 2.1 billion, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Northwest. Any addition? I'm quite happy with that presentation. Committee members, your observation. Yeah, next, Honorable Tole, Honorable Memezi, Honorable Ghana. Honorable, did you have your hand up? Let's look at it. Honorable Bam, Honorable Prada, Honorable Chauki.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the information. Chair, the first one is that of IRDP. What remedy do they have in place to rectify this one? Because you cannot just budget for 3,205, but you managed to have to contract only 1,835. What are the plans that they're going to use now to increase their development? And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of integrated residential development. There's nothing. Phase one planning and service information agreement, there's nothing. And phase four, top structure construction informal settlement, there's nothing. And people housing process informal settlement, there's nothing. Why is a lot of zeros? And the other one, Chairperson, is this one on communal land, like, right? According to their plan, they're supposed to have 1,996. But they only, the actual is 586. So what is the problem? And another Chairperson, I'm concerned about. I know that there's some instruction from the minister, but the shooting of projects Sometimes there are crises because we are talking about the project letter, they have been blocked.
But that question you must direct it to the National Department.
No, it's fine, they will answer. And the last one, Chairperson, is the one of title deed on business. I don't know what the word is happening. Title deed backlog pre-1994. There's nothing. There's no achievement for 2015-2016, and there was no planning, and there was no new title deed development on 2016-2017. What is happening actually in this project? And the last one is the priority project. They plan for 332, but the only actual delivery today is only one.
Finish,
Don't
look at people. Think again. Oh. Hey,
Now, thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Northwest, for your presentation. I like how you plan. That's where I'm starting. So it does show that you know where you're going. So, but coming to what you have already done and failed to do, I think there are areas of improvement. So I think one has been mentioned by my colleague that you had clear targets on those in just in the very first page. You didn't meet your own target, so which is a problem. So you can't plan and then fail to realize your own target. We were quite happy where the rural housing communal land right where you manage to perform. We're quite worried about your FLIPS programs that you are saying the banks could not approve the beneficiaries that were approaching them. So it's a program that can involve a number of people. We understand sometimes the situation in our country on the ground may not be as good as we would want it to be. But with a bit of marketing, including the credit importance of an individual, it can assist so that people who want to approach bank should be better off in terms of their credit. So, which means people who are managing this program should also be helpful in terms of giving information what kind of credit issues are important, so that you don't take people who are really not very good in terms of credit. Because this program, we want it to move, so which means those that are moving with it must also do some work. They must market it, market also the do's and the not do's. So those that are heavily black in credit must give chance to those that are not aware. So you can't really say all the teachers, all the police, all the, you know, the people in our department are bad in our credit. So I think I'm happy in terms of the plan. You still validate it, but people who are running with it must really move. Mining towns, We note that you are saying there was some problem of protest, and we think some of these issues should be prevented. You should realize the possibilities by now. We know there are opportunities in all the programs. So it's important that then you plan ahead. You are also telling us there were even illegal occupation of completed houses or no, whether completed or not, but they were occupied. So we are saying that should have been prevented, because you should have your own security guarding those. So I think
If you allow it, it will become a norm, and people have been staying in those houses for too long, to a point where they will claim entitlements. I think we're not very happy that you could not even secure what you have delivered. I think you should secure and even going forward. But there's quite an appreciated delivery in the mining towns. I think we hope you'll move where you have not moved. You will move. I think, Chair, those are the points that I wanted to say. Thank you.
Honorable Kala.
Thanks, Chair. Two quick ones. The one Honorable Memezi tried to touch on it, but it didn't get to the real one, regarding the illegally occupied units. And may I be specific? I want to know with regard to Marikana. I understand the department did get a court order, an interim court order, and whether that court order has been enforced, and if so, what's the current state there? The South African Police Service sent back the other Nyalas and Kaspas that they got from Klerksdorp and other areas in the northwest from Marikana. That is the situation come in Marikana? What's the status of that place as we sit now? The second question and the last one, Chair, is with regard to the rectification. And what the province is reporting on, for me, doesn't make sense, in that the province planned to rectify 111 units at a cost of 27 million. But then they went on to rectify 132 sites at a cost of 19 million. I need to be, you know, clarified in terms of when you say you are rectifying a site, I mean, and this is a stock between 1994 and 2002, I would presume that that particular site is occupied. I mean, the site is occupied already. So when you say you are rectifying a site, what is it that you're doing? I mean, if you rectify a house, I will say that I see a crack is there or the roof has fallen. When it's a site, what are you rectifying? Because in here you spend 19 million rectifying sites, and this was for the period 1994 to 2002. So what kind of rectification were you doing there? If I could be clarified in that. Thanks very much, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Bam.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation, Northwest. I seem to think that, or I seem to see that the farm workers have been totally forgotten about unless they have been addressed in some other slide, which I missed out, but according to this one on MTSF PSAP program, they don't appear to have been attended to. I don't know what the problem or what the plan is to address that concern. And then also there seems to be a challenge with title deeds. I'm not sure what your plan is about that. Also, was the reason for these title deeds not being addressed to adequately? Was the reason not from your last slide of the extract from the allocation letter? I don't know. Maybe that was one of the reasons. It's because you had directives from the higher offices. I think that's about all so far, because the other things have been taken care of. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Bongama. Honorable Kata.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, did you get the apology from the MEC yet? That the MEC, perhaps one of the MEC is in DE.
Okay, sorry, Chair. With regards to the title deeds,
I must say that Northwest is not doing well. And I want to add to what the colleagues have said. And I was also very much interested to check in terms of emergency housing program. It looks like this department and disaster relief, there's no budget, unless perhaps it is somewhere else. And I was wondering, because you've got informal settlements there, you have mining, so what happens when you face a disaster? So don't you think it's important to focus also on that program? And also land parcel, I didn't see the target share, and to say how far the land that we have acquired. I was also very much happy, Chair, I must say, to notice that there has been a great emphasis on the upgrade of informal settlement. Because if you notice the department's target out of 1.5 million housing opportunities, half of that goes to the informal settlement. So I'm very much happy to say that, I mean, to see that you are putting more emphasis, because the reality is that, and I mean, I've been reading reports, whether they are true or not true, where the minister is saying no more free houses, and then the other statement says something different. But I think with the fact that, I think what is important for me is to improve the conditions where people are currently staying. And Chairperson, we always see this priority project. And I think for me, every project that has been budgeted for has to be the priority project. So I see, and it's becoming a precedent now, that there's priority projects, and perhaps there are those projects that are not a priority, and yet there is a budget attached to those projects. So I'm just making this to say, I think we should look into all the projects that we have put money into, not necessarily our focus area to be priority projects. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair Bonga. Honorable Kala. Honorable Chauke.
My input generally is around the capacity of the department to deliver service. Because really, if you listen to the presentation, Chair, and I'm happy that now you now have the HOD appointed to lead the team, it gives a picture of your sort of weaknesses around capacity of the department to deliver. And I think maybe if we can allow the presenter just to share with us what are the challenges. What are the challenges that you're not able to meet your own targets? In fact, you're not even going wider when it comes to issues of service delivery, pertinent to housing, what restricts you. But at the same time, Chair, when we do this exercise, it's important that the Director General must be able to give us an input. The head office must be able to tell us what support that we are giving to the province. I'm raising this thing because I come from that province. My constituency is Gauteng, and we have underestimated the problems in Gauteng. It's not about storage. There are problems, and I know there are problems, and you're not getting into that. But I think it's because either we are here in Parliament and we don't want to go in detail of the problems, but we don't want to be embarrassed, or we have to open up. Where we have challenges, I think we must raise, so that the community ourselves can be able to assist the department. Correctly, as you put it, it's the most rural province. The majority of our people are in rural areas, and we know that housing delivery is still lacking in the province. But let's deal with this issue of your capacity there. Share with us what are the problems and all of that, and let us see how best we can assist the department to be able to deal. The issue of Marigan, obviously, is one issue, Chair. That both myself and the colleagues there, they will tell you that we've been dealing with this thing for quite some time. And it's something that we are not winning, Chair, unless we have to develop certain approaches and strategies to deal with issues of mining towns. Marikana being an example, but we were not able, in fact, to deal with the issue of, firstly, the beneficiary from the start. The relationship between ourselves, the mining companies and communities there, there's been lacking because of certain, you know, politics that are at play in those areas. And I think this is a platform that we must be able to raise those issues, share with us, so that your problems in the province are not only your problems there. We have, in fact, they together have to share those problems and find solutions together. Because we want to see Northwest delivering in this particular department in particular. So it's not bad. And when you look at the presentation prepared, Chair, easier to compare with the previous two presentations that we have received. You can identify that the Northwest, in fact, is not very much detailed. They've given a presentation, yes, it's good, but it's not very much detailed to that extent. But I think it's because of the point I'm raising that maybe we have to pin down and look at what capacities we have in the department, what are the weaknesses, what is it that we need for us to be able, in fact, to stand, stop, stop. You know, I can hear when you, even your presentation, it's not sure, you know. Because of those problems that find us in the department. But feel free, I think we are here to assist each other. We are ready to help you with that problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chaffee. I think before you respond, I think probably the first person to respond must be the DG. And maybe DG at some point, it's going to be very important for the department to actually clarify and define the term blocked project at some point, so that all of us we talk from the same page. I get a sense that sometimes we do not really talk on the same page when we talk about blocked project. At some point that definition is needed, or that clarity. But also, as you respond, maybe you also need to talk about the issue that Honorable Ghana asked, that of course, if I remember very well, in the department, you can rectify infrastructure. You can rectify infrastructure. So maybe you must clarify that. Because the question there is about why rectifying the site. So maybe that would come from you before the province itself is able to respond to that. But also, big problem in Northwest is a problem that all of us must learn from it in terms of the illegal occupation or the invasion of the houses in the mining towns. Because remember, we are busy developing all over the country. And what we were experiencing in Marikana is something that must teach us on how then we anticipate and we deal with that. If it doesn't happen in other areas, then one of the big things is to have beneficiaries before you finish building. Because if you finish building and you don't have beneficiaries that must occupy those houses, people are going to invade those houses. And it's something that, as the department and as the province, we must deal with it. We need to deal with it. The issue of the beneficiaries, for me, is very critical. Because otherwise, we're going to sit here every day talking about invasion of houses that you are building in this mining town. Over to you, DJ.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with Marikana, because that's one big challenge for all of us. Chair, last week, Friday, I had a meeting with the DG of the province, the HOD, the city manager of Rustenburg Municipality, to discuss Marikana. Yes, it's true, we managed to get the court eviction order from the court, and it has to be executed. Marikana, Chair, you recall that we have rental stock, we also have BNG units. On the rental stock, we've been talking to Lonmin and AMCU, discussing the rates, because the stock, if it's rental stock, it's not going to be given for free. We need to agree on the stock management. because the stock has to be maintained, it has to be managed. We have to agree on the amount of money that the beneficiaries are going to pay per month. The discussions are taking place. As of yesterday, the President, Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, in the President's there meeting with Lonnie, there's another planned meeting to discuss the actual renders, because where we don't agree with the beneficiaries is how much should be paid for those units. You will agree with me, Chair, that the units that we have developed there are far much better than what the mining companies have developed. So therefore, we can't expect to give them away for free. So there has to be payment of some sort. But also we were discussing as to what would be the best model of managing and maintaining the stock. Do we hand it over to Rustenburg, or do we get a social housing institution to manage it? All of those discussions are taking place. The rental part has not been invaded. We do have a list of beneficiaries for the rental part. But also on the beneficiary part, Chair, the province did a sterling job in terms of, together with Rustenburg Municipality, in terms of identifying the beneficiaries, and they were assisted by the World Councillor throughout that process. We have a list of beneficiaries, more than 200 beneficiaries, who have been approved by the province for those units in Marikana, and that process was managed in consultation with the communities, which is why we have to execute the eviction order, because those who have invaded the units have broken the law, and that's not something that we need to encourage. So we have to evict them and then put the rightful owners into those houses. This coming Friday, Friday this week, the 15th, we're meeting with the regional commissioner in the Northwest, because we felt that the South African Police Service, they have to come to the party and they need to assist us. There is a court order. The municipality needed some assistance from the province and from ourselves, because the municipality went to court and they got the court eviction order, and they needed a little bit of capacity to execute that. They thought that all what is needed is for the municipality to appoint a private security company to do the eviction. But if there is an eviction order, all what is required is for the regional commissioner, the DG of the province, myself, and the city manager to discuss how we're going to execute the court order. Otherwise, we will be in contempt of the court order. That's where we are in terms of Marikana, Chair. There is a beneficiary list, approved beneficiary list, both for the rental side and also for the BNG side. But on the rental side, the challenge is the amount to be paid by the beneficiaries. You know that the beneficiaries are paid between 1,800 up to 2,000 living allowance by the mining companies, but they only wanted to pay 300 rand as rental. So we thought that we need to find each other in terms of how much beneficiaries should pay for the rental stock. And that is being managed by the province, by Rustenburg Municipality, ourselves, and our colleagues in the presidency. We've asked SHRA to come on board. The CEO of SHRA attended our last meeting on Friday as well, because they are responsible for affordable rental. Then on the ministerial directive, Chair, the ministerial directive is very simple. It doesn't say don't do the work. It doesn't say don't unblock projects or don't rectify units. But what it says is that if you decide to do so, seek a special approval from the minister. And the reason why we're doing this is because we have seen a lot of abuse in the system. You have seen it, the unit cost in terms of rectification going up. We have seen CRU units at a cost of about 700,000 per unit, 500,000, some cases up to even 800,000. So what we wanted to do is to standardize the approach. In other words, there has to be a pre-approval process before you decide to do the actual rectification. Otherwise, we will not be able to get the numbers that we want if you are going to spend 800,000 on one unit. So what Minister did, Minister Sulu issued a directive which says all these programs, rectification, block projects, CRU, if you want to implement these programs, you must seek a special approval so that we can assess the cost upfront and not post-facto. We can agree whether it's cost-effective to build a 400,000 unit for a product. You recall that CRUs in particular, the funding, all of it comes from government. But the market that we are targeting, the market that we are targeting is a market of people who cannot afford to pay, because some of them were hostels. The same applies on block projects. We can tell you the magnitude of the problem, how many block projects that we have in the country, and we've defined them. We had a unit in the department, the national department, that used to manage the block projects. But again, whether it's block projects or it's rectification, the principle has always been don't rectify or unblock at the expense of new opportunities. If we're going to take all the money and throw it into block projects, unblocking block projects, or take all the money and throw it into rectification, you'll be doing this at the expense of new opportunities or accommodating people who have been on the queue, on the line, the waiting list for a very long time. So we do have a definition of block projects. We can come and present it to you here, and we can tell you the number of block projects as well by province. How many block projects do we have? The intention is to unblock them so that you can normalize. When they are normalized, they become normal projects, and you deal with them the same way you deal with any other project. I thought that those were the three questions that were directed to the National Department. It's Marikana, the directive by Minister, and a question of eviction and block projects. Thank you very much. Oh, there was a question about the capacity from Honorable Member Charles, that why is the department not intervening and assisting? I think the first layer of capacity deployment in the Northwest is at a strategic level. You will recall that there's been acting MEC, you still have acting MEC even now. There's been a number of acting AGODs in the department. He's acting chief director. There's an acting, there's a lot of people who are acting. It's good that now we have appointed the HOD. But we ask HDA in particular to assist the province in administering the mining town programs. That's the part where we thought that HDA will be able to assist the province, deploy capacity there. We've even given HDA 20 million rands of NASP money, National Upgrading Support Program, to assist in the management of the mining towns. And that will take the pressure away from the department. But I think HDA as well, they've been gearing themselves up very slowly. You would have noticed as well that they have struggled to spend the 20 million rand. But as things speak, not what used to be, as things stand, as we speak, you will notice that they do have a good pipeline of projects. They do have a good pipeline of plans and projects that are under construction, as we speak. But the challenge is the capacity to manage some of these programs. They do have a PMU, a program management unit, which is a team of professionals who are assisting them to manage all the programs by region. But you don't want to get more capacity coming from outside. I think it's important to beef up capacity inside the organization first before you utilize consultants, because those are consulting engineering specialists and time planners who are in the PMU unit. I think we're not at a crisis point. I wouldn't say things are falling apart. I think they're doing okay. If you look at the numbers as well, they didn't do badly overall. If you look at the global picture, they didn't do badly. This is one province that used to perform very well more than 3 years ago. About 3 years ago, they also got an award because they exceeded their time. So I think with the appointment of the HOD, there will be a little bit of stability. We will scale up our operations in the mining towns. We're already there in most of these mining towns, Rustenburg, Matabele, Moses Kotane, Kathleen Rutil. But last year, we started very slowly. I'm optimistic that this year we will be able to deploy warm bodies in those areas, especially your hometown.
I will ask, thanks for the questions, honorable members. I will ask my colleagues to respond to some of the questions. I think Mr. Mutsumu will respond to most of them, starting with the title list, and Mr. Bidi will assist in terms of the projects, the remedies in terms of those projects where we do not achieve our targets.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Shudi. Chair, we have embarked on a process to deal with the backlog in terms of the title deeds. And what we are showing in the screen there, unfortunately, it was not part of the package that you received, is to indicate the work that we have done in terms of this process. We have conducted occupancy audits on all those houses that we have built that are occupied. Firstly, to verify if the person who's occupying the house is the person who originally got the subsidy for that house. And in that instance, we will then proceed with the title deeds registration processes. We unfortunately, throughout this process, realized that there's quite a number of people in those houses, about 16,984 that are out of the occupancy audit of 32,000 that we have done. Almost half of that is people who would not qualify for title deeds. It's either it's people who did not originally receive the subsidies, it's either it's people in some instances where title deeds were already issued, and in some instances you would have people who have deceased there and so forth. But we're saying we are quite confident. I had indicated that I will be doing no less than 15,000 in this financial year. Already with the deeds office, we've got 4,160 that has been lodged. We are just awaiting a report to indicate how many of those will come through in the coming month or so. We have also come across some challenges in terms of things that we need to resolve there. Out of the audits that we've done, 5,858 we still need to resolve on township proclamations, on land ownership and on lost parents, deeds and etc. So it's quite a daunting task, and then as we unfold this process, we come across these challenges, but it's challenges that we are determined to deal with, Chairperson. I hope that this will assist to respond to the title deed status. We have, however, budgeted money for it in the financial year under priority projects. It's about 81 million that we had budgeted for this process, but that money includes assistance to the military veterans as well. Perhaps maybe also to deal with some of the questions, HOD, in terms of the honorable members' clarity-seeking questions. The farm worker houses. In the previous financial year, we did not budget for farm worker housing, Chairperson. But we are happy to indicate that we have budgeted for farm worker housing in this current financial year in Rustenburg. So we'll be assisting through this program in that area. I hope that also assists to answer that question. I will just allow my colleagues to respond to some of the questions, and then we'll see which ones have not been responded to, and then we'll continue to respond.
Good day, Chairperson and honorable members. Chairperson, indeed, we experienced the challenges on some of the programs that we are implementing. Where you find that we had targeted to deliver some of these key project units, and we ended up not delivering them, like your FLISP. FLISP has been elusive in the province since its inception. The main challenge has been that we had experienced a lack of qualifying beneficiaries going forward. And this has, in instances, caught up with us. The department has, however, decided to engage banks directly in order to try and change the situation. And already it is yielding some results because we have additional 225 approved beneficiaries on the program that came out, unfortunately, right at the end of the financial year, at the end of March, which would basically go to the past or the previous financial year. So we are also trying hard to ensure that this improves. We have also been into contact with ComCorp in trying to address this. On military veterans as well, we did not achieve. And the main challenge has been that the military veterans have been failing, largely because they were not on the national database, as well as issues of income, including spousal income. It makes them not to qualify because we are using the housing policy qualification criteria. So we are saying that maybe we should strike a balance by seeking an alignment between DMV and the national database in terms of attending to this program. We have also started on some of our projects on military veterans. We only started during the last quarter, but in two projects, contractors are busy constructing these houses for military veterans. On block projects, maybe in addition to what the DG has mentioned, we have a quota of block projects. Some of these they date back right from the time when we took over projects that were implemented by municipalities. These are blocked due to various reasons. There is the main challenge is we do not have the funds to can implement them, and some of them would not have yielded numbers in line with what the national requested. We have also audited some of the projects and quantified them, and we are still auditing some. Maybe perhaps if we approach Parliament and request relief, maybe we can get some kind of funding and implement them. But they also, we have not stopped with implementing this project because we've been engaging with municipalities and saying we've been resuscitating these projects as new projects going forward because we cannot stop where people have been approved and they did not receive houses. I'll pause here.
Thanks. Maybe just to also add on what my colleagues have indicated, Honorable Chair. Issues of us not meeting targets in terms of our IRPP program. Yes, indeed, we started as a department very slow in terms of our delivery within the financial year. We had challenges ranging from one to another, like issues of your transfer of land, especially in Sandway, had hindered the progress of so many projects, especially in the RDP program, that we could not even deliver, especially in the mining towns. Issues of your CRUs land within your Sandway village had been affected also by that, so it has impact in terms of that. When you look at, especially on your planning and services, most of those targets were to be achieved within your mining towns area, but you'll find that you come across challenges of your land availability or issues of your bank infrastructure within those, which we, in our planning for that financial year, we had already engaged with your water service authorities to say when we unlock certain challenges, we will run processes parallel, but you'll find that some of the challenges were not being able to resolve on time. But they're coming through the current financial year, which we will be able to achieve most of our challenges that we did not achieve coming from the previous financial year. Thanks.
So do you want to go to lunch?
No, I just wanted to say that maybe in summarizing our responses that the main challenge that we are facing basically is that we is that of obtaining the service sites in the in most of the areas. The municipalities do not have the funds to service those sites, but engagements are ongoing with the municipality, with the Department of Water and Sanitation, to try and source funds to can assist in servicing the funds. And the National Department also has given a go-ahead. We are also engaging it that there are things we can use the 2% of the allocation to assist the municipality. So we think that in doing so, it will help us to be able to achieve some of our targets going forward. Thank you.
As your commitment is that you assisting the province, the department in terms of the capacity in the process that we've got a new HOD there, that the national department is there hands on trying to assist the department to make sure that we make the target.
Yes, we're committing. We have 1 billion there. Out of the 2.1 billion budget that we are spending in the mining town. So it's in our interest as a national development to have boots on the ground in those areas.
So much. Honorable Charles, before we go to lunch.
Yeah, then I think I'm really covered by the Director General,
yeah,
especially on the issue of Marikana. But on record, I want you to reconfirm this fact that stakeholders are engaged in that area. The only problem you are now going to deal with, you're going to deal with evictions. Meaning that you're not going to get the reward from the community when you deal with those evictions there, because they've now mobilized the ground, the ward councillor, the community structures there, the unions there, are at one with yourself. And if that is achieved, definitely, I think we'll be able to deal with the problem. So that has been a problem for quite some time around dealing with the stakeholders in a particular area there.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can we break for lunch? When we come back, we will be dealing with the two provinces that are left, Limpopo and Western Cape. We will be back at 2. Yes. Yes, we will be back at 2.
We are set for up until 5.